Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Friday, July 18th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here's what's coming up tonight.
Tonight,
the Russian government had to make a strategic decision. Are they going to continue to support violent separatists whose intent is to undermine the government of Ukraine?
The Obama administration does a full court press against Russia. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
If you watch a mystery movie, that's a thought crime. If you play Clue, it's a thought crime. You do not think.
Well, here we are, teetering on the edge of World War III, and the globalists really seem to be accelerating their plan. It used to be a lot easier to convince the masses of whatever their global agenda was with the propaganda arm of the media. But nowadays, it's a lot easier for people to access information, access the truth. The globalists have had to accelerate their plan. They used to just sort of set small fires here and there, fires that we could easily stamp out here at InfoWars. But now they're just going to go ahead and set the whole world on fire all at once. It's the wars and the rumors of wars that you've been warned about for ages. Now, within just 24 hours of the deadly attack that took down a Malaysian airliner, the neocon wing of the establishment has already decided that Russia is to blame, and they're already rolling out their plans to exact punitive sanctions.
If it is a result of either separatist or Russian actions mistakenly believing that this was a Ukrainian warplane, I think there's going to be hell to pay, and there should be.
There does seem to be some growing awareness that it probably had to be Russian insurgents. Now, how we determine that will require some forensics, but then if there is evidence pointing in that direction, the equipment had to have come from Russia.
Either the missile came from, it's a missile that came from Russia, or it was from the separatists, and it's a Buk-style missile. I mean, this came from Russia. Russia has their fingerprints all over it either way.
We will continue to make clear that as Russia engages in efforts that are supporting the separatists, that we have the capacity to increase the cost that we impose on them. And we will do so.
So before an investigation even begins, media outlets are already asking, is Russia to blame? Question mark. And here we have some headlines blaming Russia's president himself, directly blaming Putin, calling it Putin's missile and Putin's war. And of course, you know, we have entire wedding parties being killed in Pakistan, but the headlines never say Obama's drones, question mark. Now, here we have a headline from the New York Times that just goes with the Ukraine's accusation. Their accusation only saying that the Russian plane shot down its fighter jet. This was posted earlier in the week. So this is the exact same thing that we saw happening when they were really trying to ramp up military intervention in Syria. We were just told within 24 hours that it was chemical weapons and that Assad's regime did it because they were the only ones that had access to these type of weapons. So, of course, America needs to intervene. And then, boom, just like that, Obama sends warships to Syria while he is debating intervening militarily. Now, this is exactly what got us into the war with Iraq as well, under this false pretense of weapons of mass destruction. And, of course, all of this is very dangerous. Nobody is taking a pause to think and, you know, ask some questions. Is this all suspicious, all of these narratives coming out so quickly within 24 hours? There hasn't even been an investigation. Now, we're asking, could this have been an accident? Could this be potentially a false flag? Now, many believe that the original sniper attack that in the Ukraine that actually helped overthrow the regime there and start that regime change was a false flag attack. CBS reports in an article entitled, "Big Question is Why the Plane Was Flying Over a War Zone." Now, this was nearly 3 months ago that the Federal Aviation Administration put out an order prohibiting any American pilots, airlines, charter carriers, and anyone else over whom the FAA has a direct jurisdiction. They forbade them from flying over parts of the Ukraine. Now, Zero Hedge asks, Who diverted flight MH17 over restricted airspace? They also ask why the videos look like they were faked. And Tony Cartolucci over at Global Research points out that thus far, Russia's strongest card has been its restraint. And, of course, NATO's inability to implicate it in all the chaos that NATO itself started by backing the armed neo-Nazis during the Euromaidan that was late 2013, early 2014. He says Russia and the fighters operating in eastern Ukraine have nothing to gain by downing a civilian airliner, but absolutely everything to lose. This points the finger in another direction. Now, with this being the second Malaysian Boeing 777 to be lost under extraordinary circumstances, of course, propagandists across the West have the world's full and undivided attention with which to pin the blame on Russia and anti-Kiev fighters that are there in eastern Ukraine. So was it Russia? Was it Ukraine? Was it an accident? Joining me in the studio now is David Knight. David, these are obviously very bizarre circumstances and, of course, drawing another similarity with Syria. Yeah. As Cartolucci points out, Russia has nothing to gain, much like Bashar al-Assad had nothing to gain by releasing chemical weapons on his population the very day that the UN, an inspector team there had entered the country to investigate whether or not he was using chemical weapons.
And there's other parallels to that as well, because in the Syrian case, we were told that because it was sarin gas, it had to be the government. And yet we learned from UN inspectors as well as from Russian inspectors that previously there had been a homemade sarin gas attack performed by rebels. And then it was eventually leaked by American intelligence that, yes, the rebels had done that. They did have the capability. So, again, we see the same pattern that someone who is an enemy of the West,
right,
who doesn't have a clear motive for doing this, is identified as the person. And then told, we're told that the weapon used, immediately we're told, I should add, immediately they know that this is a particular type of missile, and we're told that that's the missile that only the rebels had, the pro-Russian rebels had it, that the
right.
Ukrainian government didn't have. All of the surface-to-air missiles in that area are Russian. And you don't need to have a Buk Russian missile to take this down. They have shot down by accident a Russian airliner many years ago, back in 2001. They accidentally shot down, the Ukrainians shot down a Russian airliner, and that was a different kind of surface-to-air missile. So it's not clear who is behind this. And, of course, everybody is denying responsibility. But Obama went on today, and he had this to say. He said that the MH17 disaster is an outrage of unspeakable proportions. Unspeakable proportions. And remember when the book Double Down by Mark Halperin came out? He said that he was very good at killing. He said he didn't realize it was going to be a strong suit. And, of course, he has estimated at that time just in Pakistan that he had killed between 2,500 and 3,600 people. That's premeditated murder. That is what is unprecedented. That is a real disaster. Now, what happened in the Ukraine, that might have been deliberate, but it might have been an accident. And just like we saw in Syria.
Right. And of course, Obama blames Russia for supporting the separatists, funding them. He doesn't directly link Russia with this downed plane, but, you know, he just issues another presidential directive. Here's what the president had to say today.
We will continue to make clear that as Russia engages in efforts that are supporting the separatists, that we have the capacity to increase the cost that we impose on them. And we will do so.
So, of course, here, David, that's the ultimate irony.
Yes. Yes. Of course, he wants to blame Russia because of what's going on with the pro-Russian people. But look at what's going on in Gaza. At the very same time, approximately the same number of people have been killed over an 11-day period. Now we have, after the invasion, 40,000 displaced Gazans. And, of course, Israel has its first casualty as well from friendly fire. So it's very selective, the moral outrage. I'm reminded of what happened a little over 100 years ago when we had Remember the Maine. They're using the same tactics. Remember Ukraine. We see that the most mainstream of mainstream media back at the time, they were starting to try to build up a force to go to Cuba. It was Joseph Pulitzer, as well as William Randolph Hearst, who were pushing the nation into war and doing it with the sinking of a ship that people to this day in Cuba still believe that that was a false flag. They still don't believe that they had anything to do or the Spanish had anything to do with sinking that. They believe that was done to pull the nation into war. Now, that was called yellow journalism, very sensational. This is a cartoon from the time, an illustration. And what they were telling people was that Cuban authorities were strip searching American tourists looking for messages from terrorist Americans. Now, these parallels of what's going on with the TSA stripping us of our shoes, many cases our clothes, looking for terrorist messages. But, of course, the American public is no longer outraged about that like they were 100 years ago. But a good example of this is the way the Daily Mail has pulled all this together. And I don't want to single out the Daily Mail because this was done immediately by CNN, by Fox News. They were feeding us the information coming from the American government, from the British government, saying this is a Buk missile, a specific type of missile. Now, it's absolutely ridiculous that they're getting to this level. They do have some recordings in there that have also been put up, and they purport to capture three separate conversations between pro-Russian separatists, rebels in that area. They even have the identity of these people, and they have them spaced out over a period of time where they're talking about, we shot a plane down, and then they go to the site and they say, oh, it was a civilian airliner, and look at all the women and children's bodies here. It sounds like it's propaganda. There's nothing but an audio tape. And, of course, as I said, they have the people who were supposedly making this audio tape identified by pictures. That was released by Ukrainian security forces, essentially their NSA or their CIA. Now, if it were really the case that they knew that much about the pro-Russians, that they were monitoring all of their conversations, that they could identify all these guys' voices, I think that the war probably wouldn't be going on still at this point. But then they even have contradictory evidence. One of the items down here says that they reported on RIA Novosti, a Russian source, they reported several minutes before it was actually shot down that it had been shot down. Now, we've seen this type of thing before, again, with time and date stamps. This is different, Leanne, from the time and date stamp that was on the video. When you have a website, those time and date stamps can get confusing. But there's other smoking guns. The real smoking gun is, why were they in this area in the first place? As we pointed out on the Alex Jones show earlier today, the FAA had prohibited anyone from flying over that area since April the 3rd. It turns out that the European agency that controls flights had also put out a restriction over that area, but they actually hadn't totally prohibited it.
Well, that's exactly right, David. Now, the media has always been the propaganda arm of the war machine. Now, let's take a look at an excerpt from this video that Paul Joseph Watson uploaded earlier today from Infowars.com. It shows another peculiar occurrence.
One of the issues that's been raised with this video is that it appears to have been created the day before the Malaysian Airlines flight went down. According to this timestamp, which is linked on a livejournal.com website, again, unconfirmed, but it's now being widely reported by outlets such as Zero Hedge. And here we see the fact that the video was uploaded originally by the Ukrainian government in the early hours, the early minutes of the 18th last night. But if you actually go into the encoding information of the video file itself, which of course is the same for virtually any file on a computer, you can go and see when it was actually created. That gives us the date of the 16th, the day before the Malaysian Airlines flight was shot down. So if this timestamp is accurate and it comes from the actual video uploaded by the Ukrainian government, which of course is not confirmed, then it appears as though they created the tape, supposedly of the rebel commander talking to the Russian forces commander, the day before the actual plane was downed. So they had their evidence lined up to implicate Russia in the downing of the aircraft.
And David, you have even more on the altitude.
Yes, Leanne. This is from a Malaysian paper, and they're talking about how the MH17 flight actually wanted to fly at 35,000 feet. They were sent to a lower altitude by the Ukrainian air traffic controllers. Now, the prohibitions from the FAA were hard restrictions. You were prohibited from going anywhere near that if you had any connection with American Airlines or any American planes or pilots. However, the European restrictions were set to a level of 32,000 feet, and they told them to get right at that level. And so that was what they were talking about. They put them in jeopardy there at that point. And, of course, the European control people have verified that that, in fact, was the case. Now, in addition to that, there was a Twitter feed that went out from a guy who said that he was Spanish. It went out in Spanish as a Twitter feed. This is somebody who had been at the Maidan demonstrations before, and they had blanked out his face. He'd been on Russian television, and he was talking about basically critical of the Ukrainian government. He sent out something saying he was an air traffic controller. He was there, and he was saying that they were deliberately setting this up. The Ukrainians were. And we talked about that today on the Alex Jones Show with Paul Joseph Watson. Here's that clip.
It was first basically pointed out by the German media, then picked up by Zero Hedge, and now CBS News is saying, why was plane flying over war zone when all other air traffic for months has been directed out of the area? This was the sole plane directed on its flight plan, the Malaysian doomed flight. So the big issue, and it's finally starting to get some traction, which is good, it can stop a larger war, is why was it directed over the war zone? It isn't even about who shot it down. But Paul Watson, what do you have for us, joining us from London?
Well, that's right, Alex. I mean, you look at the history. 2001, Ukraine admitted it shot down a Russian airliner, killed 78 people. But, you know, you can go back even further. I mean, which country has planned to shoot down commercial airliners to blame on other countries to start wars? 1962, Operation Northwoods, quote, it is possible to create an incident which will demonstrate convincingly that a Cuban aircraft has attacked and shot down a chartered civil airliner en route from the United States. So they planned it then. 2003, Downing Street memo. The U.S. had a plan to paint up a U.S. military plane in U.N. colors, fly it over Iraq, get Iraq to shoot it down as a pretext for the invasion of Iraq. And as he said, 2001, Ukraine admitted that it shot down this Russian airline. So the history proves that the only people who've actually plotted to do this as a casus belli, as a false flag to start a war, is the United States and NATO. And as you were talking about before, July 8th, 10 days ago, Ukraine's state aviation service banned all flights over this very same region, rerouted them around the region. In the previous 10 days to this incident, Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 avoided this very area. The one day it didn't was yesterday.
I've forgotten about the 2006 February 2nd article where Bush and Blair planned to get a U.S. aircraft or U.N. aircraft shot down to blame Saddam or to blame others. But we're not, according to the Boston Globe, we're not supposed to question anything.
Well, they always try and seize the narrative immediately, the mainstream media, and then anybody else that has any speculation whatsoever, they're bad, they're evil. Another aspect which is interesting is there were panicked tweets from this civil aviation, this air controller who was in the tower at Kiev Borispol Airport when this incident went down. And he claimed, again, this is not confirmed, but he said 3 minutes before the radar tower lost contact with the Malaysian Airlines plane, it had Ukrainian fighter jets surrounding it. He says that Kiev shot it down. He said there were people, Kiev authorities immediately rushed up to the control tower, basically threatened them all, told them to shut up. He was panicking, tweeting all this out. Of course, his Twitter account's been shut down. But he was in the actual control tower saying, this is Kiev that shot the plane down. They're threatening us. And then he went.
And who controls Twitter but the CIA and the State Department on record with the Library of Congress? And notice they were in the headline Monday saying, we don't want to let ISIS be kicked off Twitter. Let them recruit on there. So ISIS, with all these heat-seeking missiles, is allowed to be on Twitter. But the people in Ukraine who are reporting what happened, they're not allowed to be.
And the other issue, Alex, is USA's evidence points to pro-Russia separatists in destruction of Malaysian plane. It's New York Times headline. So now they're saying that these rebels had access to the Buk missile system, which is the only missile system in that region that could have shot down this plane. That's not what Ukraine's prosecutor general said immediately after the incident, according to the BBC. The military, the Ukrainian military, told the president after the passenger plane had been shot down that the terrorists did not possess our bulk missile systems. So this whole premise is based around the notion that these separatists had access to this sophisticated radar missile system.
Let's detail the actual sources on this from the EU and the FAA on the bans that took place in the last few months in that sector where this plane was directed to fly.
Alex, the FAA put out a statement, a press release today, reminding people that back on April 3rd, and we covered this last night in the nightly news. I mean, we already knew this. We covered it last night, but they reinforced it today, saying back on April 3rd, the FAA issued a notice to airmen. And what that notice is, I've got the notice right here, it is a special federal aviation regulation prohibiting all aircraft, U.S. aircraft, U.S. commercial operators from entering that space, anybody that has a certificate issued by the FAA, and all operators of any U.S. registered aircraft. The only exceptions they give, of course, are to U.S. government-sponsored operations and activities. But basically, this is a blanket prohibition. And at the same time, the U.N. did the same thing through the International Civil Aviation Organization. On April 3rd, they also warned all airlines to avoid that area. Now,
you lose your license if you fly over where they say.
So
I mean, my dad's a pilot.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd be coming up against huge deadly storms. He'd have to land at some airfield because he couldn't go around the storm and couldn't fly over a military base.
That's right.
I mean, you don't fly over these designated areas.
That's right. It's a regulation. It's a prohibition. Now, one of the things we're talking about this missile system, remember that back in October 2001, when the Ukrainian government actually did shoot down an airliner, they said it was by mistake because they were having naval operations, very similar actually to TWA Flight 800, what people believe happened with that. And even though we covered this last night, even though there were over 750 eyewitnesses to that attack, including pilots, people on the ground said they saw a missile, the CIA and the FBI went around and confiscated all that information. Well, it was about a year ago that this all surfaced on the news because that documentary came out about that. And actually, Anderson Cooper on CNN had said, you know, this is the 1 year, this is the anniversary. It's actually, it was in 1996, but it was on July 17th that the TWA Flight 800 was shot down. He said that, and then he had to do a retraction. So we played that retraction, said, no, I didn't mean to say it was shot down. Actually, the fuel tank blew up, and that caused it to blow up.
And by the way, mainline reporters snuck in, tested it. It was hit by continuous rod warhead. A general partner who developed the weapon said on my show back at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's well known that that aircraft was blown up during a naval drill.
Yeah.
And they had over 1,000 men and women on helicopters and ships who they had to gag in the military.
Yes.
It was a multi, it wasn't just Navy involved, who saw multiple missile trails.
Yes, yes.
I mean, they blew the plane up in front of thousands.
And you've got national traffic safety investigators said that they were lied to by the FBI. You got others who said that they got evidence that there were explosives.
But you're not supposed to question that.
That's right.
I mean, it doesn't matter if the people on the ships and the helicopters all saw it. It doesn't matter if General Parton said that, you know, they saw the photos of the reconstructed plane. You could see where the missile hit.
Yes. Yes. But that was done with a different kind of missile. They don't need to have a Buk missile. That was done with an SS-20.
No. Only Buk missiles.
Yeah.
Only Buk missiles.
It was all about that on CNN. They kept showing all the stats about it.
Only Russia can shoot down aircraft.
That's right.
No one else.
That's right.
No one.
And we've learned more about this since then. Of course, this just highlights how much information and disinformation is out there. Of course, the first casualty war is truth. And this is what we're now hearing from Carlos, who was on his Twitter account. He said, Kiev authorities were trying to make it look like it might be an attack by pro-Russian forces. He said the Ukraine military had taken over the air traffic control tower in Kiev. And before the airliner was shot and it was shadowed by two Ukrainian fighter planes, and that a military report indicated that the missile's firing location had been traced back to an area that was not in the rebel zone. Now, in that earlier story we saw from the Daily Mail, we see that the UK intelligence forces say exactly the opposite, that they have traced it back to an area that was in the rebel zone. So, claim and counterclaim. What is true, however, is that they immediately took down his Twitter account. And as Alex pointed out earlier today, they don't do that to ISIS or to IS or whatever they want to call themselves right now. They let them keep that up there if it's useful. But if it's not useful, if it says a different version of what the official story is, they will take it down, Leanne.
Right. And in light of everything we've learned this week, just with Snowden's latest revelations, I mean, we've been reporting on this for years about how the government and spy agencies are able to tap into social media and affect things there. Well, now we have confirmation with Snowden's leaks saying basically that these spy agencies have all sorts of nefarious tactics they can use to distort online polls. And
here's the dangerous thing. If we take it as a given that the NSA knows everything and is watching everything, then it makes it very easy for them to plant disinformation and have everybody believe that they just simply intercepted it, like that intercepted communication that was put out there by the Ukrainian NSA saying, yeah, we have three separate conversations between three different groups of people, and they're confirming exactly what we said, that they shot it down. That even if that were true, they shot it down by accident. Are we going to allow them to push us into war over something that may have been an accident, may have been shot down by either side? We don't really know.
Right. And of course, they're using this as an opportunity to say how great the NSA is, because since they're recording everything, John Bussey, Wall Street Journal assistant managing editor, told Fox News today, the citizens of the world will be so thankful for the NSA because they'll be able to record these phone calls and clarify who is behind the attack. So here, just letting us know again, it's great to be constantly surveilled. Now we'll finally have the facts behind this case. And like you pointed out, the Ukrainians, they had, the government there had this smoking gun video less than 24 hours. How did they edit it all together? And
yes, that's a very dangerous part of propaganda, is the argument from authority. Mm-hmm. And we've seen this forever. We saw it going back even before Edward Bernays. We saw it going back with mainstream media, the most mainstream of the mainstream media, as I said, Pulitzer, Hearst. They were out there pushing these wars, telling people they had expert testimony, they had eyewitnesses or whatever. In the court of public opinion, it is very difficult to get the truth, especially when only one side of the argument is presented. That's why we're trying to present both sides of these arguments. They may both be false. We don't know.
Yeah.
But we're trying to get people to understand that there's multiple sides to this, and hopefully there will be people who are concerned that we don't get pushed into World War III, and they will put out some intel, just like we saw happen with the sarin gas incident where they were trying to escalate the war in Syria.
Right. This just kind of proves that all governments deal in cover-ups of some sort. We can look at some headlines from Russian newspapers. Some there, they didn't even cover the plane crash. And then a small business-oriented paper did, however, cover the plane crash, but they used the least sensational crash picture that was available. So even, you know, there in Russia, you know, we're not here working for the Kremlin, as some people believe.
Here's what
even
you need to know.
They're dealing with a cover-up.
Exactly. Here's what you need to know. They're going to tell the truth about the other guys many times, okay? When they're covering your country, they'll tell the truth. When they're covering something that's in their country or that's in the interest of their country, you can't rely on it. We've seen that happen over and over again. And so it's interesting now that Russia Today is starting to talk about 9/11. And actually, they did that about a month or two ago. As the Cold War is starting up, they're going to start telling the truth about what happened in America as well and doing their own investigative reports.
Right. Really pointing out the fact that the American government has had a lot to do with a lot of these false flag attacks. Here is Russia Today really pushing the 9/11 false flag narrative.
My name is Daniel Bush. Top officials say the White House is behind the terrorism of their population and new evidence from 9/11. Coming up.
Whistleblowers leak U.S. talks with the head of Al-Qaeda. World Trade 7 is shown on Times Square. And the father of a Twin Towers victim tells us about being attacked by mainstream media.
Well, David, only time will tell if we are dealing with another false flag operation. Of course, we're going to stay on the case.
That's true. Yeah, and we have to remember that when we had our accidental shooting down of an American airline, as naval exercises were happening, just as happened when the Ukraine did that to the Russian airliner, we had our FBI and our CIA actively covering this up from the flight investigators and hiding what the witnesses, who had over 750 witnesses who saw what happened. So we have to understand that it's going to take a while for the truth to come out. We should not rush into anything.
Absolutely. Thank you, David. And we'll keep pushing for the truth here. Now, coming up, we have some bombshell border news. City of Austin tap water versus filtered City of Austin tap water.
I can, like, taste dirt in it.
God knows what's in this.
This has an aftertaste. Tastes like Austin water.
Yeah, it does.
These people just sampled City of Austin tap water straight from the faucet. Next, we had them try a sample of tap water filtered through the ProPure G2.0 filtration system.
High quality H2O.
That one is better.
Tastes like nothing.
Yep, I know what good water tastes like. It's good water.
Most tap water contains added substances like fluoride, chlorine, Monsanto's deadly pesticide, glyphosate, and many others. Studies prove that these substances are linked to an assortment of major health issues, including tooth decay, lowered IQ, and even cancer.
It tastes like you're drinking out of the lake when you're drinking tap water.
Yeah, it has that processed flavor to it.
The ProPure G2.0 filtration system removes these deadly substances and many more, leaving only fresh-tasting, deliciously clean water.
Okay, this is very tasty.
It's good water.
Refreshing.
It's good.
Go to InfoWarsStore.com today. Use promo code WATER and save 10% off your ProPure purchase. Again, that's InfoWarsStore.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
This is Alex Jones for InfoWarsLife.com. The latest in preparedness is now here, an electrically stabilized colloidal silver solution that can be added to both your home cabinet and preparedness pack alike. Concentrated to 30 parts per million in what has been dubbed the Survival Silver Solution, and it's entirely free of toxic artificial additives that are loaded into many products. Purchase your bottle of InfoWarsLife.com Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver today and find other amazing supplements at InfoWarsLife.com.
Now, we've been reporting for years how FEMA camps have been being built in secret all across the country and elsewhere to detain Americans during a time of a government-declared crisis. And now, of course, this illegal immigration influx that is flooding across the border is, of course, just part of this Rex 84 plan to usher in martial law. Now, we talked about this last month. Did FEMA anticipate this crisis? Is that why they were making all those unprecedented requests for those 24-hour emergency supplies? They were asking for blankets, temporary shelter, emergency assistance for food, bulk hygiene kits, and then, of course, things to take care of any waste. Now, of course, we just asked if it was a question, but we know the answer to that. Of course, FEMA anticipated this crisis. And now, with some bombshell proof, our reporters were there to witness firsthand FEMA vehicles spotted parked outside one of these illegal alien shelters in McAllen, Texas.
I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com in McAllen, Texas, where behind me, the Department of Homeland Security is essentially putting up another giant detention center. They're calling it an immigration holding cell. It is 55,000 square feet. It is separated into four different pods, and they're expected to hold up to 1,000 kids at 72-hour increments at a time and release them by bus into different parts of the country unknown. They have TVs set up in their giant, large, flat-screen TVs, better than the TVs that you and I have at home. They have a health facility. They have a dining facility. All this stuff is inside here right now. And behind me, too, if you see, there's a brown bus. It is a giant FEMA bus. Here comes more and more politicians out of this brand-new facility in McAllen, Texas, where they've been meeting and coming up with ways to help the Obama administration import poverty into our country. What's happening to our country right now is mind-blowing. In McAllen, Texas, I'm Joe Biggs with InfoWars.com.
Now, the federal government long ago devised this military contingency plan to deal with the quell and domestic disturbances in the case of a large amount of illegal immigrants flooding the border, just as like we are witnessing today. It's called Operation Garden Plot, and it was just one of several plans that was put in place by the government in the late 60s and early 70s to deal with these indicators of potential violence. They were specifically preparing for, among other things, migrations of large numbers of minority groups. Now, this was part of the Rex 84 readiness exercise of 1984 and a framework of this secret plans to call for martial law. Now, Alex Jones revealed this years ago in Police State 2000.
Up on screen are photocopies of the Miami Herald. And this goes back into the 1980s when they had congressional hearings dealing with shadow government and martial law. There's the headline, the secret government. And it talks about secret summits, a plan to take over the government. And it shows the people that were in charge of the continuity of government, Dick Cheney and others. And then we have a congressional hearing where we have Congressman Jack Brooks and others during Iran-Contra bringing up the secret plans, and they're told by congressman in a way that that can't be discussed. It's a national security issue.
In the 1980s, the concentration camp program got a big boost.
Colonel North, in your work at the NSC, were you not assigned at one time to work on plans for the continuity of government in the event of a major disaster?
Mr. Chairman,
I believe that question touches upon a highly sensitive and classified area, so may I request that you not touch upon that, sir.
I was particularly concerned, Mr. Chairman, because I read in Miami papers and several others that there had been a plan developed by that same agency, a contingency plan in the event of emergency that would suspend the American Constitution. And I was deeply concerned about it and wondered if that was the area in which he had worked.
May I most respectfully request that that matter not be touched upon at this stage. If we wish to get into this, I'm certain arrangements can be made for an executive session.
And tragically, the only member who got close was Jack Brooks, and he was stopped by the chairman. But the truth of the matter is that, yes, you do have those standby provisions, and the plans are there, and the statutory emergency plans are there, whereby you could, in the name of stopping terrorism, apprehend, invoke the military, and arrest Americans and hold them in detention camps.
So there you go, guys. The FEMA camps are real. They are here. Get ready. Now, thank you for tuning into the show tonight, and we will see you here Monday at 7 p.m. Central.
You've experienced and heard about the benefits of Supermale Vitality. Now, the new formula has arrived. Introducing the new Super Female Vitality. I have specifically designed this formula to help the body naturally regulate itself without the use of artificial hormones. Key ingredients chosen from the highest quality sources. Secure your Super Female Vitality today from our limited stock at InfoWarsLife.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.